This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Back, everybody. And welcome back, everybody.
Addie is here to talk about the Polar Plunge with Special Olympics. Hello, Addie.
Hello, guys.
We were talking housing before because we had Kristen on from Point Mortgage, and you live in Appleton now, but it's funny just to talk, and you're young, but that your first house, you know, it's even, our parents always talk, well, I paid $32,000, but even if you paid, you know, close to $100,000 for your first house, it's not that anymore.
It's just not that for young folks. That's right. I feel like I should already be setting aside money just to get my kiddos out of
yeah.
the house someday,
yeah.
right?
Well, anyway, you've got a great mission right going on right now, and we're going to talk today about the Polar Plunge, but, you know, on a bigger umbrella than that, a Special Olympics, Wisconsin.
And big fans.
Big
fans.
That is a fun event. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, like you were saying, Special Olympics Wisconsin is a statewide organization that impacts more than 14,000 Special Olympic athletes and participants across the state. And so when you think of all of that impact for individuals with intellectual disabilities, we're offering sports competition to them. We're offering the chance to be included. But in addition to that, we're making sure these athletes have access to healthcare programs. We make sure that they have access to leadership programs. So the Polar Plunge, which is a 26-year tradition in the state of Wisconsin, it is our largest fundraiser to support these athletes. And we are getting ready to kick off 8 plunges around the state in February 1st.
Tell people exactly, and Joe is asking Jim right before you came on, is this the exact one that you did? And Jim still whines and... So tell us exactly what it takes to do this, Eddie.
Well, we ask that folks fundraise for our right. Special Olympics athletes, and once you start fundraising and it comes to your day, you have the ability to go and plunge in one of Wisconsin's chilly waters during February or March.
And the actual mechanics of the plunge, tell us what happens.
So here in the Green Bay area, you will be running into the Fox River on Saturday, February 22nd. So I did it last year, and I gotta say, you gotta get some chutzpah. You gotta really build up some energy and some drive. But then once you're in there, it's quite exhilarating, actually, and you really feel like you've accomplished a significant mission.
How deep is it?
Well, you know, we do have dive teams in there, so the the safety is significant. But you basically run into above your shoulders. We do have folks that really take it. They go under. Yeah. Yep. And we do have other locations around the state too, where because it's so cold this time of year, we actually have to auger holes in the ice and people are jumping in. And yeah, it's something.
Wow. All the credit in the world to everybody that does it.
It is cold. But it's like you said, and you know, today, if you look at healthcare, they'll tell you jump in something cold to be healthier. I don't get the connection. I was cold.
I told you a story. What's it? The quarterback, Kirk Cousins.
Right. There
the quarterback
you
go. Of the Vikings. Yeah. That's his number one thing. And even when he's home on vacation down in Holland, Michigan, he goes into Lake Michigan on cold days and sits up to his neck. He says that does more to get his body back in with the muscles than anything he does.
Yeah.
There are healing properties to it. There's been scientific research. I know myself, when I did the plunge last year, I actually wore my Apple Watch in, and later that day, I was like, wow, I burned a couple hundred calories just doing that.
Yeah, really?
Right. Yes. Needless to say, then I filled it right back up.
Oh, you should.
But this event, and again, I the event is fun, but the cause is much larger than that. But that's February 22nd. And you only have to raise $100, which is just, I mean, that's a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money. I mean, you in social media, you offer some platforms.
Yes. So when you register to participate in the Polar Plunge, you can go on to plungewi.org or specialolympicswisconsin.org, and you get to register right in a fundraising platform. And you also can form teams as well.
Right.
So you're absolutely right, Jim. In this day and age, you take that fundraising link, share it across your social media, send out some emails, And it's incredible to see the support you're going to receive. And as mentioned, 100% of those proceeds stay right in Wisconsin to support our Special Olympics.
Love that.
Awesome.
That's great. And I want to say for those who don't want to do the plunge, that's a pretty fun event to just cheer your... What do you call them? Plungers? Probably not.
The plungers. That's right. Yep. And in fact, it's hysterical. If you just are looking for a little entertainment, come out and enjoy the fun. People wear costumes. People get very creative. We had some lumberjacks last year that were a little edgy.
I see some guys in tutus.
Oh, yes. It's a lot of fun. But
gotta ask, though. Gotta ask. Does anybody run up and then... Ah! No, like what did you say when you went skydiving? Some people wouldn't go or something.
One guy,
they wouldn't jump.
He wouldn't jump.
Do you ever have that?
I actually, of all the plunges I attended last year, I did not see anybody chicken out.
They can turn around at their knees though if they want. But like you said, it's not a jump. Here, this is not a jump.
This location in Green Bay, it's not.
It's not, and it's in De Pere.
I thought you said you had to run and jump into it.
Well, there are places that do that. She's saying, but
gotcha.
In De Pere at. What is the name of that?
Perkovsky Boat Launch. So it's right over on like the Brown County Fairgrounds, that area.
All right.
Yep. And so because it's on the river, I mean, now there might be some ice that we have to chip away depending on the temperatures that morning, but more than likely that one you will be running in from the boat launch.
Got it.
And absolutely, there are, in fact, some of our athletes love to plunge, but maybe because of health concerns, maybe they just go up to their knees.
Sure.
Or maybe they do what we call a toe dip. But to that point, too, there also are what we call alternative plunges.
No.
Get it,
boo. Yeah, no, I went in. I was over my head. I was one of those guys. So
we do have the alternative plunge as well. So if you can't make it out to a specific polar plunge location or date, you can get creative. Do a cold plunge in your backyard. Take a cold shower. There's still ways that you can participate and fundraise.
I want to talk about, this is a great event, and you do such a good service to, 14,000 people in the community, in the state of Wisconsin. And it costs money. I mean, some people think, oh, God, thank you for doing that. Well, it costs money to do that, you know, and you want to participate. Where does the money go?
Well, there's so many places where it supports athletes directly from, again, putting on several competitions representing, 19 different sports across the state. And, but beyond the sports, we are making sure all of our athletes have access to healthcare. They have to, they have to navigate the Medicaid system. It can be very complex. Not all of our athletes always have the right advocacy.
Hope they don't have any dental problems if they're on Medicaid.
No, that Medicare,
whatever.
And to that point, we have a fantastic partnership with Delta Dental of Wisconsin Foundation.
Awesome. Great.
Can I get in?
They come in. And they give approximately $50,000 of free dental care to our athletes, but they come to the competitions. So if an athlete has anxiety about going to the doctor or they have anxiety about going to the dentist, they're in an environment with their friends, with their coaches, and they're getting that triage right there.
I can tell you something too. We were talking earlier there with Holly and Mike Schmidt, and we're talking about the Hops versus Cops basketball game that I used to, MC announce and everything. And I said that was one of the most enjoyable, awe-inspiring things, seeing these young athletes with the joy that would bring them. But I got to tell you something else that gave me goosebumps of any sporting event I've ever taken part of. And I was honored, like you can't believe, to be the MC of the state special games ceremony in Stevens Point, where it's just like the Olympics, where you have the Olympic Great Britain, and they all walk in. And these different communities, these special athletes would walk in, and the entire stadium stands and applauds them, and there's music. I mean, I got teared up in this. I mean, you want to talk about pride of those Special Olympians walking. So what you folks do to honor them and their efforts and everything they put into it is really cool. People need to see that. Do you still have that? Is it still a thing?
We have four seasonal state games.
Okay.
And the summer games are actually now in Whitewater. But
Whitewater, okay.
Right here in this region, April 12th through the 14th, we're going to be at UW Oshkosh for our spring state games.
Okay.
So we need about a few hundred volunteers to help us knock that weekend out. You can help with basketball scoring. You can help with swimming timing. But to your point, you just show up once, just do one event, and you're going to be hooked.
Not even a question.
Yep.
Not even a question. You'll never feel like your time is more fruitful.
And the athletes I'm so fortunate that I get to be an employee in the movement, but the athletes give us so much more than what we give them. I mean, some of these folks
and
have become my
best
friends.
I wasn't saying it for them. God bless. But you'll never say, wow, You know, because let's be honest, we've done things, Jim, where it's like, well, that was a waste of 2 hours of my life. I'll never go. It's just the opposite with that.
100%.
Those were the two most wonderful 2 hours you'll ever spend. No lie. No BS.
Absolutely.
And this polar plunge, I mean, this is a, I want to get back to it. This is a fun event. It is a fun event because you've got, there's a lot of people cheering you on. You're going to meet some new friends. I mean, those doing the plunge, you're going to meet some people. And it's fun to raise money. I don't mind doing that because I think when you do, and I'm not a big social media guy, but if you send this out to all your contacts and all your friends, if you can't raise $100, you need, I mean, people will do that. They like to give to that because I think everyone knows of Special Olympics. Maybe they haven't participated, surely to the degree John has, but people are aware of that. And I don't know, I term less fortunate, but some of us are very blessed. And it's like, you know, you got to share a little.
Give
that,
back. Right. Absolutely.
Well, and when you think about, you know, one, we've started an awareness campaign this last year that we call it the Include Campaign. And I think that's something that everyone can relate to. We all want to be included. We all want our children to feel included in things. And too often, individuals with intellectual disabilities are not included. And Special Olympics has given these individuals an opportunity to build friendships, to be included in athletic activities, to feel like they're making accomplishments, to have goals. And, you know, just that in itself. And you don't age out as an Olympian. So you right. might come in as a young athlete, and we have our littles, they're fantastic, but then we have folks in their 80s that are still participating.
Wonderful.
In bowling or bocce. And so this community that includes them, that is like just a small message of just kind of put yourself in that perspective.
I love that you mentioned bocce ball.
Oh, gosh.
I grew up playing bocce ball.
It is a blast.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have so much fun, and the athletes are very competitive.
I know they are. I've seen it. Tell us again, Andy, we're running out of time here. Please give us again all the details so people can get involved with your Special Olympics Polar Plunge.
So for the Green Bay Polar Plunge, we will be at Perkovsky Boat Launch on Saturday, February 22nd. And if you want to register, please visit plungewi.org or head over to specialolympicswisconsin.org. We'll get you registered, form a team, have some fun, and we're looking forward to seeing you out
that
there.
That sounds fantastic.
And
any advice to the people?
Well, I'll just say it's the new year, and a lot of people set New Year's resolutions, and a lot of them it's to volunteer.
Right.
To donate more, you know, and or they'll actually put a budget together. I'm going to donate, $1,000 this year.
As a plunger, do you have any advice?
Oh.
That you like to pass on with your past experience?
Don't wear a tuxedo.
Giddy up.
Giddy up is right. There you go. Giddy up. That's better.
Thanks, guys.
Eddie right, Titter, Special Olympics Polar Plunge, thank you so very much for what you do.
Thank you.
Quick break. Rob Demoski, ESPN, will be coming up. Back after this. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
So great having people in here that just do it because of what they want to do to make.
And they make it work.
Some of our people in our community have better days.
Special Olympics, and of course we talked to the
great 9220.
Yeah,
fantastic, great people. We've got Rob Demoski coming up in a few minutes. I want to talk about a couple of quick things here. First of all. Okay, so the guy in Philadelphia, okay, everybody massacred him, which he completely deserved.
Okay, I just want to, can I add to that? Yeah. I this Facebook stuff that everybody's on. I'm on that, but I don't, like, manage it, you know? But I was looking at it, and there was a story about him, and then you can put a comment in there. I did.
Did
I think that's the first time I put a comment in.
Wow. I never have.
I know. You can do that, because there's
I'm
a little.
I'm not sure how.
No, there's a little. It's easier than you think.
Okay. What did you say?
I hope he never works again.
Yeah, I'm sure will. But now,
and I just want to say that I did say it, and I think the NFL should step up and send
good for
that
you.
Couple.
League-wise.
I said send that couple to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So anyway, those were my two comments. They're two sentences, but I did that.
Somebody investigated.
I felt good after I sent it.
The victims, so to speak.
Pardon me?
Somebody investigated the victims. I shouldn't say the people who
were bullied.
And again, I'm not in the slightest way. I mean, that guy deserves to never go to a game again, lose his job, never work, whatever. But so the guy who videoed it, the fiancé of the lady who was abused, okay, or subject
That's
to
a
verbal
good word.
Abuse,
no, you
okay,
use that.
He had put out a Facebook thing a week or two before saying, "Hey, please donate to my GoFundMe. Send me into the belly of the beast in Philadelphia." And he wore a camera, and it looks like he was trying. Maybe it went a lot further than he ever expected, but it sounds like he was trying to get a lot of people do that at sporting events these days. That's a big thing at college football games where they try to get reactions, and then they get clicks on their sites for that. Look it up. I'm not in any way taking anything away from what that guy did, but I got a feeling there's a reason he, I'm just saying,
okay.
Again, no excuses for what that guy did or said, but it's kind of interesting that the guy did a GoFundMe page and said, "Hey, please pay to send me into the belly of the beast," mm-hmm. and I'll give you video of what happens.
Well, the perpetrator of that whole thing tried to apologize. Tough to apologize for something like that.
And what was the phrase he used?
He was provoked.
If I offended anybody.
He got that line from YouTube.
If there's a person that's not offended, I want to know who that is.
No, I think he said, what a lot of people say, taken out of context.
Mm. How could that be taken out of context?
But go ahead. I shot the guy. That the bullet in him was taken out of context. You're right. But he did talk about, you don't know the whole story.
There is no whole story.
No.
No, that is the whole story.
So you think that guy was kind of looking to boost his
Facebook?
I think
he was looking to get content.
Yeah. And that's the place to go.
And I think it went well beyond what he ever assumed would happen.
Yeah.
Todd?
Here's the thing. Whenever you see something like that, especially when you see it on social media,
right,
there is a background to every story. So, you know, we came on the air Monday. We're like, "Oh, this guy, did you see this and all that?" Right.
Yeah, no question.
We fell into that.
Right.
But we don't know what happened before it started filming. We don't know what happened.
What afterward. The guy did is inexcusable. It's horrific. Deserves every bad thing that's happening to him along those lines. But
just know.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't send the victims to the Super Bowl.
What happened is terrible. Everything that guy, but
I would like to hear what some of the other people around them experienced. What happened before the
recording
started?
Well, we've got Rob Domofsky coming on, and somebody said a thing that Rob pounded on the window and told some lady to, because she, I guess, was giving F-bombs to the media and things like that.
But then again, Rob did flip me off.
Rob is, you're not the only one. Rob is feisty. Rob Domofsky is one of the spiciest people ever.
I was very disappointed in some of the fans around there that they didn't step in and say, come on, man.
Yeah,
especially,
shut up.
All you need is two or three guys to say it, and he would shut up. Because
he was with two of his brothers, I guess. They're pretty big guys, and you never know what's going to happen. So I'm just saying. But we're going to talk to Rob about the environment there in Philadelphia during something like that. But there is so much. You can see after college football games, what these college guys will do. In fact, Jason Kelce got into it with a kid at a game. He busted his phone and stuff because the kid was trying to film him and get a reaction. And that does happen. People try to goad people at times. So, again, what he did is unconscionable. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that word right.
No. But
still, some of these people go out of their way to goad people.
But
and that's not right either.
But you have to remember, or you should know by now, there's a really good chance you're being filmed.
Wherever you go.
I mean, if not by some kid or somebody.
Wherever you go, whatever you do.
But even, you know, look at that guy in New York. He thought he was so alone there. I mean, how many cameras were on that?
Yeah.
So, right.
I mean, you couldn't have taken a portrait of that guy more clean of his face, the guy in New York, the terrible murderer. You know, it's like.
It's right there. And that's why I don't want to talk about that, but it. His parents, you can see, he was wearing a mask. We can say, okay, that's.
Oh, what? Well, I get a kick out of it. He lifted his mask to flirt with a girl.
Right. You kind of know who he is when that, if you don't.
What's up with sounds like something Mino would do.
Hey, look at me. What's up with those, hey, what's up with those Italians?
Right.
Hey, how you doing?
Right.
I'm just sticking around and knock off a guy, but yeah. How you doing?
But it's just amazing how often he was on film, right?
I know. And, everywhere he went.
But, you know, they try to go politicians a lot because then they can use that for fodder when you're up for election.
Absolutely.
And they, you know, parades and stuff, they come up and start harassing you a little bit. And, you know, some people, no, they may not have a real long fuse.
Yeah.
Like, who would be that
I don't
person?
Know.
Yeah. You don't know?
Yeah.
And it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
So, but there's other times where there wasn't a camera, so I felt good about it. No.
Yeah.
It, but that, like you said, no matter what, there's no excuse
horrific,
for whatever.
Horrific.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, I don't have any respect for those people that go to events. And even sometimes they do it with old people. You know what I mean? Yep. When they try to gold them. And it's funny. I saw this one. This guy is a gentleman in like Los Angeles, African-American. He goes, son, I'm 67 years old. You mess with me, you're going to be a spot on that pavement. And I'm 67, and you watch what happens if you don't get that out of my face. And it's like, awesome.
That's great.
Awesome. Yeah. I love that.
Can you imagine if somebody had a... camera on them the time you walked out of the gas station in the parking lot,
right?
When you were lying.
Yeah.
Hey, you're gonna start something. Bleep you.
One of these times you're gonna get caught. I'm telling you, be careful.
I go by a different name. My new name from that lady at the store the other day. I know who you are. John Zelaski.
There you go.
You are correct. I guess on a quick break, Rob Domofsky joining us next. Back after this.
Goodbye. He's up and gone with the sun. Daddy drives an 18-wheeler.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. heroicdeed.com.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino the Mayor. Trucker Thursday. Now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's get right to the feistiest man ever to come out of the west side of Chicago, ESPN's own Rob Domofsky.
Hey, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you say you're the feistiest guy ever to come out of the west side of Chicago?
Well, I grew up in the northwest suburbs, so
same thing.
Location. Right?
It's between you and Stefaniak who's feistier, and I'll take you.
Okay, yeah, I'll take that. I'll bite his kneecaps.
So is it true that you got into it with a woman at the game the other day?
Well, I mean, got into it is a loose definition. I basically told a Philly fan who was pounding on the glass of the press box all game with about 2 minutes left. She had kind of turned. Let me back up. All right. Robert Saleh. You know Robert Saleh.
Of course.
Right? So he's been working with the Packers. And I don't know if people know this, but like the Packers, like front office people, scouts, all those people sit in the press box with us on the road.
Right.
Like they're right behind us.
Yep.
And so Saleh was behind me, Goody, Murphy, all those guys were up there. Well, early in the game, this woman was like, she realized who Robert Saleh was, and she wanted a picture of, like a picture of him. Like she kept trying to take a picture through the glass, and he wasn't acknowledging her or whatever. And so as the game went on, she got more obnoxious and more obnoxious. And finally, with about 2 minutes left in the game, when she realized Robert Saleh wasn't going to acknowledge her, and she realized that about, you know, three or four or five of us in the press box had the same haircut as Robert Saleh. She just started going down the line and pointing at us one after another and said, you're a bald MF-er, you're a bald MF-er, wow. You're a bald MF-er, you're a bald MF-er. And finally, I just pounded on the glass, and I go, sit down and shut the bleep up.
Give him a bell, Todd.
No doubt.
Give him a bell.
Outstanding. I feel like Sala on the way out of the press box kind of gave me a little wink that was like his own attaboy kind of thing.
Yeah. Nice. What is the atmosphere out there for an Eagles game, Rob?
I mean, the atmosphere is only what I can see from the press box, and that's what I saw.
Okay.
So, I mean, I get there 3-4 hours before the game, so there's nobody in the stadium.
Right.
And, I mean, the press boxes are pretty sealed. But it, like, yeah. I did realize when I pounded on the glass to get the woman's attention, like, that glass is thicker than I thought, and my hand is a little sore. But
isn't there some security in the press box that would have told her to shut up?
No, they don't care about us.
Jeez Louise.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think I would have lasted as long as you did.
No, you wouldn't have.
Well, that's one of the rare places where, like, people's heads are, like, at the same level as our, like, laptops, you know? Like, most of the press boxes, like, the fans are so far below you. Like, that press box is basically right between the upper deck and the lower deck. So, you're right at the back end of the lower deck. So, but most of the press boxes are just, you know, so high that you're so far away from everybody. But, you know, it's a good view there.
Yeah. Do the Eagles, everybody who talks about that stadium, I mean, that is, you know, besides throwing snowballs at Santa, they have kind of that reputation. I hope they don't embrace that.
Oh, they do.
Oh, I think they do. Yeah. I mean, plus it's a great stadium. I mean, I'm not kidding. It is an awesome stadium. Gorgeous views. Great atmosphere. Loud. I mean, like, to me, it's every bit as loud as, you know, the Seattle's, Kansas City's of the world.
Well, Rob, let's talk football. What happened on the field? I mean, I'll just give you my quick opinion. You know, they peaked right before Christmas, and I don't know if it was injuries or what it was. They just never quite regained that same rhythm they had at one time. Your views?
I think they were a good team, but not a great team, and they couldn't beat any great teams. Yeah. I think it's as simple as that. You know, yeah, they played well in Seattle, but Seattle turned out not to be any good. They played well against the Rams, but the Rams were banged up at the time. They beat Houston early in the year at home. The AFC South stinks, you know. Like, I just think
New Orleans was pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can say they were in a rhythm, fine, but those were against bad or mediocre teams. They were a good team. They won 11 games. They just weren't good enough.
So did that Bear loss, did that, like,
hangover effect at all?
Right.
I don't think so. I mean, I think Philly's just better. Like, I think you can dissect it any way you want. I think even if they had beaten the Bears and played, you know, beat the Bears 23-0, I just, you know, in the end, I just think Philly was just one of those three or four teams that was better.
But it's funny, though, a team like the Vikings looked so good against the Packers in those games, even though they were close at the end.
Oh,
but,
man.
Boy, the other night, that pass rush of the Rams was just incredible.
And it's amazing what a pass rush can do, because I think, you know, I don't think Jordan Love was sacked a bunch, but, man, he was under pressure from their front, and the Packers' offensive line was not very good. And it's just amazing how we've seen it, John, in playoff games over and over. I mean, go back to the like the Giants teams that would come in here and beat the Packers in 07 and 2011. Like, you know, those guys, Strahan and Justin Tuck and OCU Mignora and Jean-Pierre Paul, like, those, it's amazing what a pass rush can do in a playoff game, and I think that's what you saw.
You know, I still think
I
still think of the hardest job in all of sports. I don't care what people say, the hardest job is an NFL quarterback, because you get guys that are as fast as running backs that weigh 310 pounds, and they're coming at you from all sides, and you're supposed to read a defense that is so complicated and gives you so many false reads, and you're supposed to figure that out, and then you're supposed to throw a perfect pass in this little window. It's, I just can't even imagine what that would be like.
Yeah. And look, Love, was he as good as he was the second half of last season? No, but I don't know if you guys heard the explanation on one of the interceptions, but this is a perfect example of why it's not all on the quarterback. So the second interception, the one that he basically threw right to the linebacker, right, Zach Bond, I think the Wisconsin guy.
Yeah.
LaFleur explained that Malik Heath was supposed to run the route at, and I can't remember what the exact yardage is, but I'm just making this up. LaFleur said Heath was supposed to run the route at 20 yards, and he ran it at 15. And that's, Love doesn't have time to, you know, he's got to trust that the guy's going to run the route to the right place.
And throw it to a spot.
Correct. So, like, that's not on the quarterback, you know? And it's just that's football, man. And the quarterback's going to get all the heat for it. But, you know, in that case, it had nothing really to do with the quarterback.
LaFleur kind of said that, too. I mean, not that Love needs to be defended, but.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Oh, no question about it.
Like Rob's just saying.
But I got to tell you one thing. The one guy that really, I know where people say, they didn't show up to play, which is the easy way to take it or whatever. But, man, Josh Jacobs, I will take that guy any place, any time. Isn't he something else?
Yeah, I mean, he was all they had in that game. And but was it like 81 yards on 18 carries, which I don't know what the math is, but I think that's over 4.5 yards a carry. So, he's everything they could have wanted. And I think that they have got some things to build around on offense. All year, though, like, it was, we don't need a number one receiver. We got all these guys. Well, maybe you do need a number one receiver, you know?
Do you think we'll ever see the potential that comes with being a number one draft pick of Christian Watson? Or do you think he's just had so many different types of injuries now that he's a little bit damaged goods and get what you can out of him? What's your opinion?
Well, he was a second-round pick for first.
Or second, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't drafted a receiver in the first round since Javon Walker in 2002.
That's right. That's exactly right.
But, you know, look, I mean, people, you know, want to bag on Watson this year. The dude played in every game until the ACL. Like, I mean, he played in 15 games. Like, so to say he wasn't durable this year, the ACL is a freak thing, man. That's nothing you can do about that. But I don't know. I give the kid credit because he dealt with hamstring injuries, figured it out, and seemed like he was on the right path, and then this happened. So, he's a talent. Here's the one thing I'll say, though, John, and it's never good for a guy to tear his ACL, but from the Packers' standpoint, they would have had to make a decision at some point late next year or after next year about whether to give him a big, big contract or let him walk. Well, this ACL basically, you know, because next year is basically going to be sort of a lost year. So what they're going to be able to do at the end of next year is probably do like a one-year deal for the, what would that be, 2026, and give it almost like buys them another year to see whether they have to pay him big money or not, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
Because that second contract, that's the one that they live on for the rest of their life, the bonus. Yeah.
They've been burned on a couple.
Oh, yeah.
Someone was going to, whether it was the Packers, let's say he didn't get hurt and continued to have, you know, the types of years that he's had where he's made a bunch of big plays but has maybe been a tad inconsistent. Someone, whether it was the Packers or someone else, would have given him a big money contract. Well, now that's not, you know, and I feel bad for the kid because he is a good guy, man. I mean, he's stood up there and taken the heat, you know, whenever he's had to. I mean, not that it matters to people on the outside, but we give an award for the players that are most cooperative with the media, and he was our winner, not this past season, but the season before. He's a super, super good leader in the locker room. But, the kid just he just lost a lot of money, you know, with that injury. But from the Packers' standpoint, you know, it probably, I don't want to say it helps them, but from a business standpoint, it makes things, you know, at least a little easier
I got to ask this, though. So if you're giving out a lifetime award for that, for most helpful with the media or whatever, and one just the opposite, least, who would they be?
And I knew you love that. You love these questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's hard to narrow it down to one guy. But the first guy like that comes to my mind for the good one is Tremont Williams. He understood our jobs. He understood. He never got mad if we asked hard questions or critical questions. He gave you all the time you needed. I'll never forget one time I was talking to Jair Alexander when Jair was a rookie, and Jair was kind of wasn't looking me in the eye, was staring off into space. And Tremont Locker was right next to him. But then he goes, Jair, what are you doing? Why aren't you looking him in the eye? And he goes, I don't know who this is. And Tron goes, this is Rob. He's the ESPN reporter. Like, he's been around. Look him in the eye, you know, kind of a thing.
Wow. That's cool.
The list of
uncooperative?
Of uncooperatives is so long. But, like, just out of the top of my head, I'm going to go with Brad Jones, Bill Schrader, there's got to be a lot more. Kabir. I was not a big Donald Driver fan, but that's probably I'm probably in the minority there. Man, there's got to be.
You weren't there during the Sterling years at all, right?
No, I was not. I came a couple of years after Sterling Sharp. So.
But I will say, I was reading a thing with Cliff Kristol, and he was talking about Gil Gillingham, who he thinks should be in the NFL Hall of Fame. He thinks he might be the greatest Packer guard of all time. And Dick Himes, who I remember was just kind of a guy, and he said they would yell across the locker room at him, "Hey, poison pen, yada, yada."
Yeah, well, was it Gillingham or I can't remember. Somebody had Cliff by the neck, like up against the, like pushed him up against the wall by the neck.
I think really?
You'd have to ask Cliff. I can't remember who it was, but he said somebody basically grabbed him around the shirt collar and held him up against the wall. I know this was your guy, Mino, but Frank Winters never did it for me.
I know what you mean. He just wasn't a good media guy. I totally understand that. Greatest guy in the world to have beers with, but I understand.
I know he's your guy. He's your guy, but he just it's kind of funny too. Like there's some people that were like really prickly early in their careers and came around. Like John Kuhn wasn't the greatest early in his time, and then became pretty good. And Amon Green, his first stint here was terrible, and then when he left, went to Houston, got hurt, and then they signed him back. It was like a different guy. Like he was humbled a little bit. Charles Woodson was first for being a superstar was outstanding. Julius Peppers, same way. Rodgers, whatever you think of him, was at least entertaining and gave you interesting stuff to write about.
Hey, did you watch his Netflix thing?
I did.
What'd you
I
think?
Here's what I think. I think if you like Aaron Rodgers, you watch that show and you still probably like him. If you didn't like Aaron Rodgers, you watched it and you still don't like him.
I don't think it did
anything this way. Given that he...
Okay, Rob, can you stick around for a one-minute break and finish it from right there?
Sure.
Awesome. Thank you. Rob Domofsky, ESPN, former Green Bay Press Gazette sports writer, of course. Back right after this.
Mouth the Feather River Canyon and climbing the old grapevine. Roadhouse down the fences and the girls they've left behind. You've heard their tales of daring, and I think that's just fine.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I'd have a flat on the inside duel.
Hey, welcome back. Trucker Thursday here at Mino and the Mayor. We got Rob Domofsky, ESPN sportscaster. Did you ever think you'd be referred to as an ESPN sportscaster?
Well, I mean, I'm still a writer at heart.
I know, but you know what I mean? It's like...
No, I never did. When I was a kid, watching SportsCenter repeats over and over and over, where they used to just have one show at like 10 p.m. and it repeated every hour, and you'd have to wait a whole other hour to see that one play that you might have missed the first time. No, I never thought I would work there.
Because let's be honest, your era, you came out where you hated the TV guys, the blow dry guys, yada, yada, yada.
Chris Mortensen told me when I started working at ESPN, and Chris Mortensen was a longtime newspaper guy before he became like ESPN NFL insider for television. Told me once when I was out in Bristol, the first couple of years I was working at ESPN, he told me, he goes, "Rob, if I ever see you wearing a pocket square in your sport coat, I'm going to kill you. You're a writer. You don't wear pocket squares. Those are for the TV tools."
Love that. That's actually really good. Well, Rob, what do the Packers need to do to get to that next level? I mean, the Detroit Lions, God bless them, love them or hate them, man, they have done it and they have grinded and they are there right now.
Look, I think the Packers are still in the middle of a plan. Like every single player that's important to this team is under contract for next year, except for maybe Josh Myers, their center. Like, this is not, when Goody and those guys made the switch from Rodgers to Love, when they actually turned it over to him, it was going to be like when they drafted, Jaden Reed and Tucker Kraft and Dontavian Wicks, the plan was that those guys would all grow together with Love. And this is only year two of that. And, even the Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson class that we were talking about earlier, that class still has another year. So, I mean, really, it was almost like a 3-year plan you know, to try to get to where they are. And I think that the expectations were raised by the way they finished last season, and maybe unfairly. But I still think the trajectory is pointing up. You know, the quarterback's got to take another step. You know, I do think the injury at the beginning of the year kind of just screwed him up from the start. But not that he wasn't good, but he just it wasn't as dominant as maybe he was the last half of the year before.
And that same theory model holds true for the coaching staff. Do you think that's strong?
Yeah. No, I think you're right, Jim, because this is only year one of the defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley. And, I mean, I think he came in and did a really good job in a lot of areas. Now their pass rush wasn't quite as good as it needed to be. And I still think they need more help at cornerback because I would assume Jair Alexander's days are done here. But, you know, the interesting thing is Hafley is – I doubt he'll get it, but Hafley is going to be interviewing for the Jets head coaching job, and that would be a tough loss after just 1 year of getting that defense sort of turned around. I mean, they finished fifth in the league in total defense, and the last time they were top 10, I think, was the Super Bowl year in 2010.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You mean Dom Capers wasn't?
Well, Dom's, I think they were ninth 1 year.
I thought 12th was the height. Maybe you're right.
Like 2014, that defense, when they lost to Seattle, that defense was damn good.
Yeah, it was
real. And you know what, that Super Bowl defense, that was Dom.
Yeah, well, you're sure. But you mentioned Tremont Williams. That was him with the interception when Julius Peppers told him to go down, wasn't it?
No, it was Morgan Burnett. But the Tremont was the one that actually got beat on the game-winning touchdown in overtime. But if you think about the playoff run in 2010, the Super Bowl run, they open in Philadelphia. Tremont seals the game with an interception.
Yeah.
Next week against Atlanta, Sam Shields has a pick six.
Yep.
The NFC Championship game against Chicago, BJ Raji has that one.
And the return for a touchdown. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. And then in the Super Bowl, Nick Collins has the pick six, and Clay Matthews has the forced fumble in the fourth quarter. So that defense made plays, man.
Yeah, it really
Rob,
did.
Yeah, Rob, we're running out of time here. Two things: okay. Coach McCarthy and Super Bowl.
I'd love to see McCarthy get the Chicago job.
Really?
I think it'd be really good for Chicago. McCarthy's a guy who's really good at taking a team that won four or five games and turned it into a team that can win 10 or 11. Now, is he the guy that's going to get you to 13 in the Super Bowl? I'm not sure. And as far as the Super Bowl goes, I mean, I think it would be really interesting to see how far the Lions go. Lions-Chiefs would be awesome. Real quick before we go, John, I don't know if you know this, but I wanted to say this, that we lost Mike Vanderschnick yesterday. I don't know if you worked with Mike at all at WFRV.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mike was one of the good ones, worked for the Packers in their video department for a long time. So just wanted to give condolences to
and
his
young,
family and friends.
Really young.
Yeah, 51 or two.
So I know he and Burke were really good friends. I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, from the media world, that's a tough one.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, Rob. Are you going to the Super Bowl?
No, I've only been to the Super Bowl when the Packers were in it, and I've never been to the draft because I cover the draft in Green. You know, I stay in Green Bay because that's where the Packers people are. So for me, this draft, the only thing it's going to be is a pain in the butt for me to get to the stadium. It doesn't change anything about my job. And Jim, I wish you were still in office because my fear, and I can just tell you this real quick, and John would know this from traveling around the league. The rest of the NFL thinks we're a bunch of rubes. If this goes badly, they're going to say, oh, yep, little Green Bay, they couldn't pull it off. So I really hope we can pull this off, because if we don't, people are just going to think we're a bunch of, you know, one-stop light town people. That's my fear.
Hate to say it, but you're exactly right. Yeah,
well, I don't have a lot of confidence, but I hope it goes well.
I'm meeting with the mayor this afternoon. We're going to be fine.
Yeah. Rob, okay, you are great.
Even though I'm the angry guy from the west side of Chicago, as John calls it, Green Bay is become my home, and I've become defensive of this place, or a defender of it, and I hope we pull this off.
And the two greatest basketball players ever come out of West Chicago, you and Mark Aguirre, correct?
Chicago Westinghouse, baby.
There you go. Represent. Rob Domofsky, I know you're one of the busiest men around, taking the time to join us like this. We truly very much appreciate it. And
glad
continued success.
It.
You're the best. Really appreciate
all right,
it,
Rob. Seeing you guys.
Thank you, buddy. We are out of time. We'll be back in tomorrow morning. We got a great lineup for you. Dennis, of course, will be here with the Glam Band report, and got some live music. A lot of great stuff taking place. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Back in tomorrow morning, Mind of the Mayor. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.